Good afternoon. February was our social media month in Future Proof, and this was brought on by the fact that there's a change of presidency in America. So we've been following their transition of basically their digital assets. So Obama's White House basically announced that they're transitioning the digital assets back in October last year. And then once that transition came into place, and of course Trump was sworn in, the handlers of AdPotus actually changed as well. So Obama's AdPotus handler, for example, became AdPotus 44. So we thought, okay, for those of us, it's actually a very significant thing for record keeping, the way that they've handled this transition of social media assets, as they call it. We also know that social media is no longer just a delivery channel for information. Its use and application is getting wider and getting more diverse than what we would have imagined it to be. So when I was told that I need to do a presentation on social media, I thought, well, we all know about social media record keeping anyway. So I thought maybe it would be better to sort of talk about the trends that that's actually happening around the social media space and what are the record keeping implications. And so hopefully, knowing what's actually trending means that we can start planning ahead and start thinking of solutions, or at least start thinking of how we can actually archive or manage these social media posts. So I thought it's actually a bit hard to sort of explain what social media is. So this was actually an explanation done in 2012. It basically started the revolution of this one, how to explain social media. So this is the first one, donut analogy, as they call it. So it was done by Douglas Ray, and of course, he posted it on Instagram, which is another social media site. So, and people have copied this idea, and they started to do something like this. So this one, it's a bit better. It looks a bit better than the social media analogy or donut analogy. And of course, I don't really have any preference, so I thought I'll show you the cats as well. The addition here is actually Yelp, I think it was, yeah, Yelp. And also, of course, this one now, it's basically Pandora or Spotify. And then I thought I'll post another one. So this is basically social media before social media. So this is actually my favorite one, because I thought, well, and of course you don't actually see the newcomers on this one, which are Snapchat, Dig, Periscope, even Tinder, I suppose. Okay, and then I thought we might as well have a look at what are actually the state records from a social media perspective. And of course, tweets posted by Damon Rees, State Archives announcement of our first webinar, and of course the trains tweets as well. And even the negative comments or negative reviews by other users or the public. So these are of course all state records. So by definition of what a state record is, it's actually regardless of any format. So anything that's actually posted by members of the public or posted by us as a representative of the government agency, they're considered records or state records. So the Act uses a broad definition for what constitutes a record. So this ensures that different formats that come into use as a result of new technologies are governed by the Act, and as such, it has to be managed. And I thought we'll have a look at how it actually has grown our usage of social media. So, and before we discuss any of the social media trends for 2017, you can actually see from here the growth of the usage of Facebook, for example. So from 1.4 to 17 million Facebook users here in Australia. So basically what it means is basically 7 in 10 Australians use Facebook, 1 in 2 Australians use YouTube, 1 in 5 Australians use Instagram, and 1 in 6 Australians use Snapchat. So suffice it to say, social media platforms have penetrated deeply into the mechanics of everyday life, affecting people's informal interactions as well as institutional structures and professional routines. So it is relevant that we keep ourselves up to date as to what are the social media trends and how it may potentially affect record keeping as we know it. So So I thought we'll be discussing, I'll be discussing basically just five of the trends. So basically they're saying that in 2020, social networks will penetrate all realms of life as individuals and governments explore new ways to tap into the power of the crowd. So location data used in conjunction with social networks create hyperlocal social platforms. Niche or specific interest-based social networks allow people to customize and filter content. So I think that's the reason why when you go through Facebook and once you start clicking on one link, it will actually keep on providing you or promoting with you other contents that are similar to that one. So that's how they do it anyway. So I thought we'll start with mobile first. So as you can see in here, in this, it actually has a lot of mobile or messaging platforms that we're using at the moment. And mobile is actually not new. Social platforms optimizing for mobile certainly isn't new either. But even so, it's not an area to be ignored. So this year, mobile usage overtook desktop traffic. So mobile will continue to be valued, and that value will continue to grow even more rapidly. And of course, a lot of these social media platforms can be accessed through a mobile phone or in a mobile app as well. And each of them would have a built-in messaging system, which just makes everything all too hard to keep track of. So basically, what the record-keeping implications in here are basically the loss of control for us, because it will be even harder to control or let alone capture messages or records of continuing value. So I don't know whether you can see at the back there, but there's actually a caption at the bottom of this picture that says, "I have a hard time keeping track of which contacts use which chat systems." And I think a lot of us actually have a lot of these chat systems that we really don't sort of think of. So, and of course, in addition to the third party hosting and stuff like that, so that's another record keeping implication anyway. And also, of course, the ownership of this messaging as well, because it's in one's mobile phone. So basically, you might think that, okay, that message is actually mine, or my personal one, it's actually not a government one. But the thing is, if you're actually communicating government messages or government stuff in it or government decisions, then you actually need to keep them as a record. And of course, we all know that anyway already. So that's one of the implications as well. And of course, the lines are getting all blurry. And another implication for this is basically security and, of course, access to your phone's content. So, for example, if you look at Snapchat would have access to your contact list, your name, your photos, your location, your web browsing history. Social media sites such as, they also share data that may be useful to advertisers. And, of course, they have access to your email address, social media account and password, type of phone you use, and its unique code as well. And even when you delete your account, your Snapchat account or your Facebook account, they may still retain certain information in backup for a limited period of time or as required by law. So the next one is actually the rise of chatbots, as I call it, or chat robots. This one is actually, I'm a bit excited about this one because chatbots can, of course, store, synthesize, and recall lots of information. And they can even anticipate what you want before you ask. So this trend is not exclusive to social media, but it's increasingly being used in social media. So for example, here's a chatbot or called Do Not Pay. It's actually a robot lawyer for parking tickets. So it was invented by Joshua Braden, 18-year-old, from Stanford. And he actually received a parking ticket, but instead of going away with, you know, appealing the decision or anything like that, what he decided to do is basically create a chatbot to help them do this. And he felt it was unfair, of course. So this is actually his solution to fight parking tickets. So he made the user interface a chatbot, and by October 2016, his chatbot helped or overturned more than 190,000 parking fines or parking tickets. And since then, he extended these to compensations and also, disputes and explained parking charges. And he also helped with filling out for immigration as well too. So he's pretty good, he's very cluey. But I think of all of course, for this one, this chatbot actually produces a legal document that he can, or that the user can actually provide to a government agency. So as you can see, this actually has a lot of, a lot of opportunities that you can use it for. So, for example, it will actually offer you prompt replies, better forms and records. If we can actually create a chatbot like this, then from a record-keeping perspective, this is actually great. And of course, that would mean that it would be better service delivery as well. But of course, there's also a high risk of getting negative comments and even getting misinformation as well too. So it's very high. So accuracy is actually dependent on the information fed into the chat robot or the chatbot. So according to Sprout Social, when the public experience bad customer service on social media, if they have asked a question and it's not responded in a timely manner, they become disgruntled. So about 73% of people have had negative experience with an organization on social media. And 36 of these people would have used social media to shame a company for poor customer service. So in a way, it does have its own risks as well. So the next one, this one is about the rise of expiring content. So this is saying the internet never forgets. I don't think so. I don't think it still holds up. With social media, this is not true anymore. So once one just needs to deactivate the account, and at some stage that account will no longer be searchable. That means all of the posts and tweets or whatever that's actually associated with that account, it's no longer available. So in a way, you've got this expiring of content already happening. And of course, there's also been about that social media platforms can actually be out of business very quickly. So for example, before Instagram, there was a website called Multiply. So I don't know whether you know, guys, you know about this. There's a photo sharing site before called Multiply. And of course, before Facebook, there was Friendster. Or there's MySpace as well too. So, and then I'm thinking with this one, you can actually blame Snapchat. So I don't know whether anybody uses Snapchat, but this is actually the trend that they're actually promoting at the moment. So this allows content to expire. So it produces a sense of urgency in consumers, and they're going to keep coming back as often as possible to see what's new. It is the ultimate call to action. It appeals to being in the exclusive group who had access at some stage. However, this trend is actually both good and bad. In one case, by allowing content to expire or to disappear after a specified amount of time, it would mean that we don't really need to look at the disposal strategies for records with short-term retention, especially if most of our posts are general announcements to the public. This trend poses a big threat, though, on provision of access, as a community can't access information that is no longer there. So think of answering DPA requests. So you won't be able to answer those because the content is no longer there. And it will be harder to gauge your social media engagement as well. So the number of likes, tags, if you don't have the evidence to support your claims as well because the content is no longer there. So for public offices, we need to figure out how to provide content and which content works within the expiration date. Content that acts fast and engages quickly before short attention spans lead the community to move on to the next thing. So the current prediction is that by 2020, this trend will become mainstream. And in a way, it does enhance user privacy as well because, let's face it, social media is always about the users. It's always about us or me. So the next one, this is about the live streaming video. This trend is what lies beyond YouTube. So more and more people are shooting videos on their smartphones. So it relates back to your mobile first or mobile phones and sharing it on social media. So last year, Facebook more than doubled its daily views to 8 billion, reportedly overtaking YouTube. In addition, Facebook launched a live streaming video service, Facebook Live, to compete with Twitter's Periscope. So YouTube is still a strong competitor now with high definition 4K live streaming capabilities. So this is what they call social goes hyperlocal, because there would be an interplay between social and geolocation technologies, allowing consumers, businesses, and governments to connect and share on local issues. So what are the implications of this? Of course, there's increased transparency. However, we have to be careful that any analysis of what is actually being broadcasted is based on facts, that they are accurate or authentic. And of course, you've got copyright issues around public-generated video content. And how do we manage these new formats? What is the value of these videos? Are they state archive? If not, how long do we need to retain them? And of course, there would be format issues as well. So quality of the videos, so where do we store them again? How do we ensure that the videos are accessible for as long as they are needed? And format obsolescence. And will MP4 be actually the standard format for these live streaming videos? And of course, that goes to social media archiving. So this one, with the White House announcing their plans to archive the Obama administration's social media channels, the understanding that social media is an important public record can no longer be ignored. So revise your social media strategy to include records management and find out what requirements you need to meet. And of course, the goal was to make the content more useful and available to the public. And of course, with this one, we've got the, I call it the AdPotus 44 expectations. It means that we want to preserve it in native format. We want it to be open. We want it to be accessible and, of course, available in perpetuity. So, and of course, there are some applications available on the market already that can do this, that can actually archive these kind of in a way that they can do it. But of course, the thing is with AdPotus 44 is that, of course, they are, Twitter is an American company, and it's actually goodwill for them to do this for the president of the United States. So, but I don't think that we could actually go anywhere close to this anyway, so if that's what we want to do. And of course, we will always have those format issues, what format we actually keep it in, and where do we actually store them at some stage. So as each social media platform provides a way of archiving posts generated or created, we will be getting various formats. Where do we save these formats? If we save them in our Trim or Objective or record-keeping system, they will be rendered unreadable if you don't have any rendition software at some stage. So it is something that we need to be mindful of as well. And of course, what do we need to do? So I've got some tips. So basically, we want you to focus on what you want to get out of the social media. So you've got to find your voice. What is your organization sharing? How is it using social media? Is your social media use evolving? Is it going to implement new functionalities or trends? Strategize and plan how you're going to keep your social media records in response to the needs of the business. And of course, we want you to be curious and we want you to engage. So don't wait for your social media team to approach you. Be curious, ask them what they're thinking or whether they're actually thinking of any of these new functionalities or new trends. And then of course, assess the social media platform and don't forget to put KPIs around it. If you're not achieving goals or outcomes you set in the beginning, walk away from the social media space, but make sure you've captured records you've posted, of course. And then we want you to monitor your social media sites in, from the terms and conditions, additional functionalities, and what people are posting on your site. Your social media guidelines, from your moderation policy procedure to social media record keeping policy or procedure, will evolve. And of course, we want you to train your staff on social media. It is good to have a social media policy, but it is only good if people are aware of it and know what the policies are. So training is also a risk mitigation strategy to protect the organization's reputation. And also, at the same time, it's a way to make them understand that whatever is posted on the social media platform means they are records and that they will be of archival value at some stage. For example, we do have our own guideline on these, the strategies for managing social media records. And there are tools, and tools are available, and applications can be used to manage those records. So I think that's it for me.